Begin the current daf, Masech the Bava Basra, daf Chafei. Begin on the top line of the Yomid. But the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah in the series of the Mishnais of the Perek Le'achbar, which discuss the halachas where, although someone is doing something in his own property, in his own permitted area, he has to be concerned and take that into consideration for halacha, how it's going to affect other people, including the people that are his neighbors or the people of the city. So the Mishnah tells us, Marchikanes and Avelis, those are the terms that these Mishnayos use. One must distance, in this case, dead animal carcasses, Vesakvaris, the burial places, Vesaborsiki, and a tanner's place where they take hide and they take the animal's skin and they work it. Mina ir chamishamama, you have to distance these things from the city 50 amas because they have a bad odor. Moreover, in Eisen Bursaki, a person is not allowed to make a tannery, a place where they take these hides and they work them until they turn them to leather, Elala Mizrachir, only to the eastern part of the city. The reason for that is because the eastern wind is not constantly harsh, only if it's coming for punishment purposes. But in general, it's warm and it has a very gentle breeze, like the Pasuk says in Sefer Yaina, and therefore it's not going to bring that odor to the city. So therefore, even if we're making a distance, make it on the eastern part of the city. Now Rabbi Akiva, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no, l'chol ruach u'aysa, chutz mimarava. You can make it in any direction, except for the western part, which we'll explain the reason for that. U'marchik ha-mishmam, and you have to distance it an area of 50 amas. Continues the Mishnah, u'marchikin es ha-mishram in the yerk. Another halach is one must distance the pool that's made for soaking flax from vegetables, because it's harmful. Vesakrishim and Absalom, you also have to distance leek from onions, because that also could harm the onions. Vesachartel and Advarim, and one who has mustard has to distance it from someone else's bees. And the reason for that is because the bees are going to eat the mustard, which is going to make a sharp taste in their mouth, and then they're going to eat their own honey to soothe the sharp taste in their mouth, and it's going to make the owner of the bee a loss for his honey that his bees are making. So there you have to distance these things from other people who have those other things. Now, Rabbi Yisi Mata Bachartel, he permits regarding the mustard that the owner of the mustard does not have to distance his mustard from his neighbor's bees, even though they might eat his mustard and cause a loss for the owner of the bees. Now, Ibarlur, that the following question. Rabbi Kiva Heichi Kamar. When Rabbi Kiva said his halacha regarding the bursaki, regarding the tannery, what was he saying? In other words, there's two ways of interpreting the two variables he mentioned in his halacha. Do we say lachol rachu eisa b'saymech? Rabbi Kiva was saying that actually in every direction you could make the tannery and you could actually make it near the city. In other words, you don't even have to distance it 50 amas. Chutz mimarava, except for the west, demarchik no nama v'eisa, where in the western part of the city, where there you cannot do it right next to the city, but rather there you could do it if you make it 50 amas away. So the words of Rabbi Kiva was lachol rachu eisa chutz mimarava umarchik hamishim amas. So is that what we're saying, that in every direction you can make it right next to the city except for the west, where then you have to distance it 50 amo? Or maybe, no, what he was saying was, in every direction you can make it. In other words, the last clause was going back on the first part of the statement. So in every direction you could do it, but you have to distance it 50 amos away. Except for the west, where there you can't even make it at all. And therefore, these words of Marchi Chamishamam would be going in the other three directions. So Zigmar Tashamal, let's bring a raya, the Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa. Kiva Omer, he says, L'chalruach u'aysu u'marchi chamishamam. So this is clearly in the Braisa. In every direction you can make the tannery, but you got a distance at 50 amas. Chos mimarava de'ino itzikol eker, except for the western part of the city, where there you cannot make a tannery at all, even further than 50 amas away. Now, what's the reason? So the Braisa also explains the reason for his halacha. Memnei shehi tadir, because it's constant. And that is Gemara, Amalei Rav of Nachman, my tadir. What does it mean that the western side of the city is constant? Ilema tadir beruchas, if you're going to say, because it's the most constant of the winds, and it's constantly blowing more than all the other directions, and therefore it's going to be blowing a lot of that odor, that bad smell of the tannery, even if it's more than 50 amas away. So therefore, that's the one direction that we don't want there at all. And that is the Gemara, is that really so? Is the western side, is the wind coming from the west, the most constant of all the four directions? But v'omarav chonam barabu omarav. He says, dal ruches menashves b'chol yom. There's actually four different winds from the four different directions that blows every single day. V'ruch tzafaynisim kulan. It's the northern wind that's the most constant, because that's the one that blows with every one of the directions of the winds. Now the reason for that is Hashem made it like this because it's the softest and it's the calmest and the, so to speak, sweetest of the different winds. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos, that it's mamtik. It sweetens, it harmonizes and synthesizes all the other winds. And Chilmoli Kane, because if not for the northern wind, the world would not survive even for one moment because the wind would be too harsh. The northern wind softens it. Now, Veruch Dereim is Kasha Mekulin, and the harshest of all the winds is the wind from the south. And Vilmoli Ben Nates, and if not for this Malach, which is made in the image of a Nates, which is a hawk, Shemamida, that stops the northern wind with its wings, Machareves Sasailim would destroy the world. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Eve. Hashem is telling Eve, you have all these questions. Do you know all these things? Can you do all these things? From your insight, can you have this nets, which is this hawk, which is this malach, and that image that spreads out its limbs, yifres kanaf of lesemon, that could spread out its wings to the south? Meaning to say, because if not for that malach, the world would just be destroyed. So obviously, but it's not that the western side has the most constant wind, because actually it's the northern wind. So Elamai Tadir, rather, says the Gemara, what does it mean that the western side is the most constant? Tadir b'shchina. It's the most constant with the divine presence because it's in the west that the divine presence rests. Dami Shuma Levi, like he says, and that's why you're not allowed to have the Borsiki there in the west, because that's the most prominent place of where the Shechina is. And that's the place where the divine presence is, and the same concept is regards to the direction towards Yerushalayim, towards Eretz Yisrael, which is called in the west. So Shuma Levi says, let's come and give thanks to our fathers, which is a reference to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly, because they said this pasuk that is going to quote in Sefer Ezra, she'adiu mokim tefillah, that they notified us the place of where we should pray to, because that's where the Shekhinah is. So like it says the pasuk in Nehemiah, which is the second half of Sefer Ezra, utzva hashemayim, and that the hosts of the heaven, which are the sun and the moon, that they stand in the east, that's where they start, to you they bow down, meaning towards the west. Because the way it works is that the person who is bowing down doesn't go right in front of the person. So it's when the sun and the moon are going, they start from east to west, the way at least we perceive it. And it's as if they're bowing down, they start their process of going downward till they finally set. It's going towards Ma'ariv, which is where the divine presence is. So we see that that's where the Shekhinah is, and that's why you're not supposed to have things that are inappropriate, like a borsiki, in the west. Now, Maskev Lo Rav Acham Bar Yaakov, he says, what's the proof from this pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah that the Shekhinah is in the west? But Vidilma may be that actually the sun and the moon are bowing down to the east. Now, if you're going to say, well, that's not appropriate, why would they be starting over there and then going towards the west? You don't bow down right next to the master. And that, it's they actually would be, because they're doing ke'evet shenitl pras mirabai, like a servant that's taking a gift from his teacher, where you get something. And then they go backwards, stepping backwards, bowing down all the time. That's the concept that could be the sun and the moon. They're going backwards. And after they got their gift from Hashem, which everything is a gift from Hashem, they're bowing down constantly until they finally go down to the west. But maybe it's not towards the Shekhinah, but it's actually walking backwards from the Shekhinah. So the Gemara Kashya, it's a difficulty. What would be the proof from this pasuk of that we see L'chom Mishtachav, and maybe it's actually the other way around. Maybe the Shekhinah is in the east and not in the west. Now, Rabbi Yishai Sava Shekhinah B'chamakim, he actually disagrees with this concept. He says that the Divine Presence is everywhere, not just in the west. The Amr, Rabbi Yishai, like Rabbi Yishai said, what does it mean over there in that pasuk which was just quoted? That Atuhu Hashem L'vadecha, that you, Hashem, are the only one. Ato asisas Hashemayim b'goyim, you made the heavens, etc. Which after that it says utzava Hashemayim, with that part that we just quoted before, that the host of the heaven, which is talking about there regarding the messenger, the agency of the host of the heaven, where the Navi here is praising Hashem and saying that you're the only one with this type of characteristic. What is it? What about Hashem's shluchim, his agents, which are the sun and the moon that are his hosts in the heaven, that makes Hashem so unique in his shluchim, different than all other people that are sending out shluchim? So that says the Gemara, What Rabbi Yeshua was saying was, Shluchecha leker shluchei basav adam. Hashem, your agents are not like agents of flesh and blood. Shluchei basav adam, an agent of a flesh and blood person, mimakam shemishtalchem nesham machzim shluchusen. From the place from where they were sent, that's where they go back to report on their agency. When they say, we did your job, they have to go back to where they were sent from. But that's what the pasuk is saying. But your agents, lamakim shemishtalchem, to the place where they were sent. In other words, that place where they get there, even there the divine presence is there too. Sham machzir and shluchusan. There is where they return their agency to say we did the job. It's exactly where they got to. You don't have to go back and tell Hashem because Hashem is there too. Shalom, like it says the pasuk in Eiv, where again Hashem is telling Eiv, like, can you do all these things? Do you have all these questions? Hashem shalach barakim b'yileichu. Can you send forth lightning bolts and they will go? V'yomulach hinenu. They will tell you here we are. In other words, yivayu v'yomulay nemar doesn't say as Hashem could do, which Eiv cannot do, that they come and tell you. That doesn't say. They go and they tell. What does that mean? Don't you have to come back to tell? That teaches that the divine presence is everywhere. They go and they do the job and they tell because Hashem is not just where He sent them from, but He's there too. And says the Gemara, so Tzuri Bishmol says that the divine presence is in every place. The Tanya Bei Bishmol, it was taught in the Shiva Bishmol. Where do we know the divine presence is everywhere? Like it says the pasuk in Zechariah. This was a prophecy that Zechariah Hanavi had, which was to measure Yerushalayim, its length and its width. Now the pasuk says, "Hini Malach Adavi biyaitzi." Now the Malach that was talking to me went out. Umalach Acher Yaitzi Lekrasa, and another angel went towards him, meaning which in the Nevuah and the prophecy was to contradict the first Malach that was sent, because Hashem changed the message. And he wanted that there shouldn't, Eretzel should not be, have a measurement. And rather, like the pasuk says, Perazis Teish of Yerushalayim, there should be open the dimensions of Yerushalayim. Now, both of these malachim were coming from the Shechina. Now, Achrav Leinamar, but it doesn't say that the second malach came after the first one. El Lekros, it says it was coming towards, as if it was coming, that one was coming from one direction, the other one was coming from the other direction. That comes to teach that divine presence is everywhere. That yes, it could come from Hashem, where he's coming from one, and he's coming from the other direction, because again, as the children's song is, Hashem is everywhere. It says the Gemara, so too, Rav Sheshes held that the divine presence is everywhere. Because the Amalei Rav Sheshes l'shamay, Rav Sheshes said to his attendant, and that was because Rav Sheshes was blind, he told him, l'chol ruchasa u'kaman. He said he couldn't tell which direction he was. He says, pick me up, and for me to daven, in any direction, levar mimizrach, except for the east. Now, v'lam mishum de les b'shchin, it's not because that's the one direction that the divine presence is not in that direction. Elam mishum de mayur b'mine, it's just because the students of idol worshippers, who are they contradict that, and they say that you should bow down to the east because that's where the sun is, and they worship the sun and all different constellations. So they're going to say, oh, you see, he's also praying to the east. So therefore, just don't direct me that way. But really, it's in every direction because the Shekhinah is everywhere. Now, but Rebavo, I'm a Shekhinah b'mayr. Rebavo, as we had said in the interpretation of the halacha of Rebbe Kiva, which was Tadiri because the divine presence is in the west. So too says Rebavo. Says the divine presence is in the west. Because the Amr Rebavo, he says, my Arya. Now, what's Arya? Rashi says that he heard that what Arya is, that in Persian they would call Mayr of the West, Arya. But Rashi says that actually they would call, in a different language, they would call it the East Arya. And that's why Rebbe Vo explains what the word Arya is from the word Aver Ka, that the air of God, meaning that the divine presence is in the West, and therefore it faces towards the East. So it comes out that the east is the open air space of the divine presence. So you see that, and that's why they call in that language, according to that second interpretation of Rashi, Mizrach, this Arya, because that's the open area, because the divine presence, which, so to speak, would take up that space, is in the west, as we see, because the divine presence is in the west. And that's why the opinion of Rebbe Kiva was that the Borsaki could be everywhere but in the west, because it's not appropriate to have it where the Shekhinah is. Continuing on this theme, but regarding the different four directions which we mentioned before, as we thought that maybe Tadira meant regarding the Ruches, we said no, because the northern wind is more constant than the western wind. So Amr Yehudi says the following halacha. He says, Ma'edach Siv, What does it mean, the pasuk in Devarim, which this pasuk is that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Shira of Hazinu was comparing the Torah to the four different directions of the earth, where just like it's not possible without the four directions and the four different types of winds, so too it's not possible for the world to survive without Torah. So this was said as a mashal. But in the mashal, it's referring to, we're comparing Torah to these four, to the four types of winds, but which four are they referred to? So on that, says Rabbi Yehuda, when it says in the pasuk Yarif Kamotr Likhi, that I drip my teachings down like rain, so Zurach Marabas, that's a reference to the western wind, Shebo Ma'orfe Shaloylam, that's the word Yarif, where it comes from. Either Rashi says he heard it means from the strong part of the world, because as we said before, that the divine presence is in the west, so that's the strong. Orif is when someone is stubborn, it's Orif, it's the strong part. Or Rashi says, no, Orif is, those are the nape, it's the back, meaning it's the back part of the world, because the back, the west is called Ocher, is the back. Because like the Pasuk says in Iyov, Chof Gimel, where he says, Hin Kedem Ehalach Venenu, that I go towards the Kedem, which means the east, but also means what's in front, and he's not there. The Acher v'le oven, and I go to the back, which is to the west, and I don't understand. So therefore, when it says, Mi'arfa Shaloylam, it's a reference to the western wind. Then when Moshe Rabbeinu compares the Torah of Hashem, Tizal Katalim Rasi, that I drip like dew my sayings, what is that a comparative to regarding to one of the four directions? The Ruach Tzfainis is a reference to the northern wind, Shemazelis es Azov, which depreciates the value of gold. The reason being because the northern wind, although it's a smooth one, but it also creates heat and it brings drought and creates hunger, and therefore the price of gold drops because it's not doesn't have so much utility, which is not enough food to go around. And therefore that's the word Tizal, which is from the word of Zal, which means to go down. And that's the northern wind. B'chinoim Esutu says a pasuk in Yeshaya that we find the term of zilusa, of going down in value regarding the word, regarding gold. It says, Hazolim zahav mikis, that the gold has gone down from the purse. Then the pasuk continues, Kisirim ali desha, like winds on the vegetation. That's, again, comparing Torah to the winds. Zuruch mizrach is a reference to the eastern winds. And the reason why is, like we see from the word kisirim, is shemaseres es kol olam kisar, because it makes tumultuous the entire world like a demon, which that's one of the names of a shade is like a sire. That's the reference of the eastern wind, which is very strong winds. Ucharviv maliyaseh, when it says that like rains on the grass, zuruch dreim is a reference to the southern wind, shimal revivim magdelas asavim, which it brings up showers and makes the grass grow. So again, that's the where we see the same idea that the four different winds are referred to here in the comparative to the Torah, and that's alluded to in these psukim, which are referring to the four different types of winds and their characteristics. Now the Gemara introduces the following brisa, Tanya, which will relate back to this teaching of Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara is going to ask as a contradiction. Rabbi Lazaim, he says, Olam, the world, as we continue to Amid Beis, La'achsadruhu daima, is compared to a pavilion, which the pavilion is made where it's enclosed on three sides, but it's open on the fourth side. There's no wall on the fourth side. The world is the same thing. What does that mean? Viruch tzefaynis einim misuvavas. That is, the northern part of our world is not surrounded with a wall. So although that there is some type of a enclosing, as the Gemara is explaining, of our world, but the northern part is open. Now, moreover, v'kivin she'giyah chama, it's l'karen maravis tzafaynis, when the sun, as it's setting, it goes from the east to the west, at least the way we see it here, which is how the Gemara explains it, when it goes towards, and it goes towards the south, as we'll shortly explain, it starts in the east, goes towards the south, and goes towards the west, and then towards the north. So when it reaches at the end of the day by the northwestern corner, so nechfefes, it folds over, and it goes above the firmament, where again, as we're saying, that it's like it's there's an enclosing of the world, which is the rikia, as if that's some type of a roof of the world. Then at nighttime, where although the Maral explains this at length, where although the sun goes down below the earth, the way the Chazal had explained it, with whichever esoteric teachings they're coming to teach us, it goes above and it comes back that way, not as if it goes below. So it goes the entire north of the earth by the roof of the Rikia, again going back to the east, for the morning to start over again. And the way it's able to do that, as we just explained, is because the northern part is open. So although it's fenced in on all sides, but it, on the north it's open, so it goes out there and it goes back towards the north, back towards the east for the morning again. Now, Rabbi Shua, he says that actually, Eilam Lekuvahu Daima, that the world is compared to a tent which is totally surrounded, totally enclosed area. Now, Virach Tzafainis Musubebes, and he says that actually the northern direction is enclosed with a wall, not like the way the first opinion said. Now, but Vekivin Shacham Magas, Lekaren Marabes Tzafainis, when the sun reaches at nighttime to the northwestern corner, because as we said before, the sun always goes towards the north at nighttime, because it goes when it reaches to the west, it turns towards the north. That's the way it goes, from east to south, from south to west, and from west to the north. So makefes v'chezeres achari kippa. So then it goes around, which Rashi explains like through some type of window, because he disagrees with the first opinion that it's open on the north side. It's closed, but it goes through a window, so to speak, and it goes back behind, meaning above the dome which surrounds the earth. It goes up above it and comes back around. Shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Kehelis, it says, "Hoylech el darm." This is a reference to the sun. It goes to the south, v'seiv el saf, and then it goes around to the north. B'goyim, etc. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains, "Hoylech el darm." When it says that the sun goes to the south, that's by yoyim. That's during the daytime, meaning when the circling of the sun during the daytime, that's called hiluch. It's going because we see it during the day. So it's in what we call the chalal. It's in the space of our world, what we could see. The Seiv of El Tzafin, and then it goes around the earth to the north. That's balayla. That's a nighttime. So the circling of the sun at nighttime is called Sivuv, which is going actually out of our sphere of our earth, which is on the outside. Because, and that's why we can't see it, the way the Gemara is explaining it. So, at the daytime, the sun is always going to the south of the person. If a person looks up at the sun is going towards the south of where he is, and that's the circles that one can envision of the sun going. Even on a short day, it's not going to go any less than at least going towards the south. Even if one would picture it going straight from east to west, it's going to go a little bit to the south of where the person is, and be on its circling of the earth as he sees it. Now, when it says in the pasuk v'seiv el tzafin balayla, then at nighttime it goes around towards the north, mean to say even on the short nights of in Tammuz time, which is in the summer when it's the days are very long and the nights are very short. So even though it's going very little bit that we don't see it, which is what we're calling out of our sphere of the world, which we're calling on top and coming back around, it's going to have at least a little bit that's going to go in the north of where the person is. So if the person is standing right here in middle, then during the daytime, it's always going to go a little bit to the south, no matter how short the day is. So although it's barely going anything in its pattern during the daytime, it's going to go a little bit to the south. And at nighttime, it's going around where we don't see it, where it goes below the earth, but the way the Gemara is calling it going above, the roof of the earth, it's going to go towards the north of the person. Now the pasuk continues and says, "Seiviv seiviv ha'ilech ruach," around and around it goes in the directions. "V'al sviv'isav," and on its turnings around, "shav ruach," goes back to the directions. What does that mean? "Elo p'nei mizrach u'p'nei ma'ariv." So we refer to that it goes to the south and to the north, and moreover that its faces, where it goes around and around to, which are always its stationary points, is the face of the east and the face of the west. Where the reason why it's calling this is because Shepamim Misavavatan, sometimes it goes around the east and the west, meaning by a short day, where it goes, the sun is starting much lower down on the earth, and it goes from the southeastern corner of the earth, and it goes towards the south, and it goes lower down, and it ends up setting by the southwest. So it's actually not passing the east and the west during the daytime, because actually it's starting very low down, and it's going beyond the orb of the planet. And by nighttime is when it's going to be passing the three different directions of first west, north, and then east. But sometimes it will go what we're calling hiluch, which is the daytime type of journey, which we see. It will go through the east and the west during the daytime, which is on the long days of the summer months, which when it leaves on the northeast, it's very much higher up, and it sets in the northwest. Then, even though it's going south, it's circling on the orb, on the face of the earth, and therefore, so although it's going south, it's going to be passing the east, the south, and the west. So therefore, that's why it says these terms of hiluch and sivuv, which it's always going to have a hiluch of the south, and it's always going to have a sivuv of the north. But regarding the east and the west, sometimes we'll have sivuv and some will have hiluch, depending on the time of the year. During the winter, then it's going to have it at least by sivuv, and during the summer, it's going to have it even by hiluch, because we see it in the east and the south and the west during the daytime journey of the sun too. So now the Gemara continues, which is going to relate back to the previous halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. Hu ha ya'imer, he would say, which the Gemara points out is Hasan L'Rabbi Eliezer, which is coming according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that he said, which was the first opinion, that the world is compared to an achsadra, to a pavilion that's open on the fourth side, meaning towards the north. That he said that that's how, according to his opinion, you're going to interpret the following pasuk in Iyuv. It says, min acheder tavei sufa, from the inner room, from the inner chamber, will come forth the whirlwind, Zuruach Deraimis. That's a reference to the southern wind, which is, again, the opposite of the northern wind. That's why it's called the cheder, which is the inner chamber. Because actually, as we'll see that, as we said, which Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, the north is the most outermost, because that's what opens up to beyond this world. It's not enclosed. Umim zarim kara, and from the word of zar, of muzer, which is, and that which is dispersed, is cold. Zurach Tzvain is a reference to the northern wind, because as we said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that side, that wall is breached, is open, is muzer, is dispersed, therefore that's where the cold comes from. Minishmas Eil Yitain Karach, from the breath of God comes ice, Zurach Marabas, that's the western wind. And Varechiv Maim Bemutzik, and the expanse of water will be poured, Zurach Mizrachas, that's a reference to the eastern wind. Now that asks the Gemara. So okay, that relates back to what the previous teaching we said, which is again according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Now, one of the things were that we said that the water, the rain, comes from the eastern wind. And that asks the Gemara. But Amar, but Rabbi Yehuda had said on Amar Aleph, Ruach Deraimis Mal Raviv Magadelas Asavim, that it's the southern wind that brings up the rains and makes the grass grow. And yet here we're saying that it's the eastern wind that brings the water. So how do we resolve that contradiction? So the Gemara Lekash is not a difficulty. Ha, this that we said that it comes from the south is the Asya Mitra Benichusa, when rain comes calmly. Ha, Beshvichusa, this that we're saying in Rabbi Yezza that's coming from the east is when it comes pouring down, because that's actually the words that it says in the Pasuk, Mayim B'mutzik, which is a term of pouring, that's a different type of rain. That's what Rabbi Yezza is referring to, and that doesn't contradict Rabbi Yehuda, which regular rains, which helps things grow, that actually comes from the south. Now, continuing on this theme about the different directions, which the Gemara was talking about, Amar Rav Chizdi says, what does it mean the pasuk in Eve that says, Mitzofin Zohav Yaseh, that from the north gold will come? So, Zurach Tzofinis, this is a reference to the northern winds, Shemazel, as we said before, that makes the price of gold go down. And Mechenoim is so too, as we find the pasuk in Yeshayah, that the term of Zol is related to gold, Hazalim Zohav Mikiz, that makes the gold come down from the purse. Which again, as we said, because it's very warm and makes things hot, and it causes the heat to cause a drought, and therefore the price of gold goes down. Amar Rav Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda, relating on these topics, he says, "Miyem shachar beis hamikdash, from the day that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, lehuk shema ruach deraimis, the sudden wind did not come and bring its full bounty of rain." Because, as we said before, the southern wind used to bring the good rains, as Rabbi Yehuda had said. But once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, that ceased to be. Shlomo says, the pasuk in Yeshayah, it says, the Yigzer al Yamin v'ro'iv. He decreed on the right, but it used the word Yamin, and caused hunger. V'yechel al smal v'lo'isaveyu, and he eats on the left, and he's not satiated. Now, Sivet says the pasuk in Tehillim, Tzafin v'yamin atabadrasim. North and Yamin, you created them. Which, obviously, you see that, what's the contrast of north is south. So we see that Yamin is south, and the previous pasuk said, Be'igza al Yamin and Veroiv. So we see that the south is causing hunger because it's not bringing the good rains it used to bring since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. another teaching on this topic from Ba'amar Raf and Rapapa Arma of Chizdim. It says, Miyam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Einag Shem Yerdim Oitzetayv, the rain does not come down anymore from Hashem's good storehouse. What does that mean? Shem, like says, the Pasuk in Devarim. Hashem says, if the Jewish people will keep the Torah, Yiftach Hashem L'cho Esetzer HaTayv, Hashem will open up for you His good storehouse, which the end of that says, Lassus Matar Artzacha, to give the rain of your land. So what that tells us is, Bizman she sold ice and turn the Shemalkum, when the Jewish people do the will of Hashem, be sold sure and all Muslim, and the Jewish people are living on their lands, then Gesham Yerdim, then the rain comes down from Hashem's good storehouse. Bizman she ain't you sold sure and all Muslim, when the Jewish people are not living on their land, in Gesham Yerdim, the rain does not come down from Hashem's good storehouse. Now the Gemara continues again on this theme about the different directions, but specifically, as we mentioned, Amud Aleph regarding which he said, which direction would I daven in, which is the direction of where the Divine Presence is. So related halacha, the Gemara says, Amar Yitzchak, he says, Haritza Sheyachkim Yadrim. Whoever wants to become wise should, when he's davening, pray towards the south. V'sheyasher Yatzpin, if he wants to become wealthy, should pray towards the north. And he says, if it's a manayich, and a sign to remember that you shouldn't mix up which direction is which, is Shulchan Mitzafin the Menor B'Darm. The Shulchan, the table that was in the Beis HaMikdash, was towards the northern part of the earth, towards the north, which the table which had the bread always refers to wealth. Menorah Badarim, the menorah, the candelabra, which was towards the south, refers to wisdom, which had the oil. The shemen is always is symbolic of the light of Torah. So therefore, someone that wants to become wise should face towards the south. Wants to become wealthy should face towards the north. Now, Reb Shimon Levi, he says, no, la'olam yadim, a person should always face towards the south. Shemetech shemeschakim misasher, because once he's going to become smart, because of acquiring Torah, which is towards the south, then he will become wealthy anyway. Shnomach says, the Pasuk in Mishlei, says, oich yam b'mina, length of days are in the right side of the Torah, and b'smei la'isha b'chavad, and with the left part is wealth and honor. So through Torah you get not only wisdom, but you also get wealth. Now, that has to Gemara, but for Yeshua ben Levi Amar, he says, Shechina b'marv, like we said in the Manav, the Divine Presence is in the west. So how are you praying, north, south? You got to always pray towards the west, because that's where the Shechina is. Says the Gemara, you're right, the mitzad it's a dude, but you face towards the west, but you turn a little bit towards the south, or towards the north, again, depending on which one you want. That's what he was saying, that a person should always face towards the south. Yeah, west, but a little bit towards the south. Now, Amalei Rav Chanina l'Ravashi, he said, "Kegoin atun yasvisu b'tzvein d'Eretz Yisrael, like you people who you live towards the north of Eretz Yisrael, meaning in Bavel, adrimu adrimi. So when you daven, you have to face towards the south, so that you should face towards Yerushalayim, as the pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, 'Ispalu elecha derech artzim,' that everyone prays towards you, Hashem, towards the Beis Hamikdash, or in the whatever direction their lands are, whichever way, everyone faces towards Yerushalayim." Now says the Gemara, Menolan the bubble it's fine there to talk. I mean, how do we know the bubble is towards the north of Eretz Yisrael? Looks like it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says Mitzafin Tiftachara, when it was talking about the prophecy that bubble is going to come and conquer Eretz Yisrael and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it says from the north the evil will open up. I'll call Yeshvi Haaretz on all the settlers of the land. So we see that bubble is towards the north of Eretz Yisrael, and everyone when they're davening they have to face towards the south. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that said Machikin es haMishum min haYerek, that we have to distance the flax pool from vegetables, b'chulu, etc. Said different things that you have to distance from other people's things because it might cause them damage, and one of them was distancing mustard seed from a neighbor's bees because it's going to cause him loss for his bees. Where Rabbi Yisi said no, bees are not going to be problematic. You could have your mustard near those bees. So Tanu Litna Braisa, that explains his opinion, Rabbi Yisi Matar Bechartli says that you're allowed to have your mustard seed near your neighbor's bees. Why? Because the owner of the mustard could tell the owner of the bees as follows. Acha ata oimerli, until you go and tell me that I am the mazik, and therefore, which Rabbi Yisi is responding actually according to the opinion of the Chacham. He actually disagrees, as we'll see in the next mission, on the whole concept itself. But he's going even according to the opinion of the Chacham that you hold usually it's on the mazik to distance himself, that the one who's caught into damage, it's his responsibility to take himself away. So on that, the owner of the mustard is telling the owner of the bees, what, you're telling me that I'm the mazik because I'm causing you damage for your bees because they're going to eat my mustard and then they're going to have a sharp taste, they're going to have to eat up and consume up all the honey you're trying to get out of them, so therefore I have to distance myself. So you're telling me, you're saying to me, oh, get rid of your mustard away from my bees. And that, says the owner of the mustard, I could tell you that you're the mazik. Harchik devarcha min chardilai. Get your bees away from my mustard. Shaboyz v'oichlis l'glugi chardilai. Because they come and they eat the flowers, the leaves of my mustard seed. So therefore, even according to the opinion of the Chacham, he was telling them, you shouldn't require the owner of the mustard seed to distance himself because he's not only the mazik, he's also mazik, because that guy's bees are eating his mustard leaves, and therefore, just like you're a mazik, and so too I'm a mazik, so I don't have more responsibility to distance myself any more than you. So the Rabbi Yossi said, even according to the Chachamim, they don't have to, in this case, distance the mustards from the bees. Now, the next Mishnah continues with a theme of a previous Mishnah that was Toma Marchikin Esa Ilan. You have to distance a tree, but this case, not from a city, but Min Habor. If let's say his neighbor has a pit, so the one who has a tree has to distance it Esrim B'chamesh Amma, 25 Ammas away from that guy's pit, because of the roots that can go and destroy and harm that guy's pit. Now, Ubacharvu B'shikma, and by a carob tree and by a sycamore tree, which they have many roots, and they go very far, that network, Chamishim Amma, you have to distance it 50 Ammas. Now, this halacha applies Beimil Mala, whether if any one of these are higher up on the mountain, and the second one is lower down, whether it be, as we'll learn in the Braisa, that the pit is on higher ground and the tree is lower, or the tree is on higher ground and the pit is on lower ground, or Beimin Atzad, or whether that they're on the side because they're on equal ground, either way the halacha is you have to distance 25 Ammas, the tree, from the pit. Now, the Mishnah explains, Im Habar Kadma, if the pit was dug first, that neighbor made his pit before the other neighbor made his tree. So the owner of the tree has to cut his tree down, and then the owner of the pit has to go and compensate him monetarily for the value of his tree. Now the reason for this is because since the owner of the tree planted in his own property, and he didn't cause direct damage to his neighbor, it just takes a long time till the roots will go and by itself go and harm his pit. So the Chacham did not require the owner of the tree to cut down the tree without getting compensated because of the damage that could cause to just an individual, in contrast to a rabbim, as we mentioned in the previous daf. Now, the Milan Kadam, but if the tree comes first, if he planted his tree first before his neighbor planted his pit, made his pit, then Layakar doesn't have to cut down the tree. My fault that my tree is going to harm. Why'd you make a pit next to my tree? Now, Savig Zekadam is Savig Zekadam. Let's say it's not clear which one came first. So then Layakar, then out of doubt, he doesn't have to cut down his tree because he's the defendant, the claimant has to prove that if he wants him to cut down his tree, that his pit came before that guy's tree. Now, Rabbi Yisem, he disagrees on the Tandakam. He says, Afa b'shabar k'demes lilan, even if the pit came before the tree, lo yakatz, he doesn't have to cut down his tree. Shazeh chayfe b'teich shaloi, because this guy could dig a pit in his property. B'zeh noite b'teich shaloi, this guy could plant a tree in his property. What happens later, it happens by itself. It's not my responsibility. I do this on my property, and therefore, he doesn't have to cut down his tree. Now, Tanu Litna Braisa explaining the halacha, the Mishnah, that we said that this halacha of distancing the tree, according to the Tandakam, from the pit, 25 Amas, is whether it's higher or lower, is, as the Braisa says, Bein Shabar Lamata Ve'ilan Lamala, whether the pit is lower down and the tree is higher up on the mountain, or Bein Shabar Lamala Ve'ilan Lamata, whether if the pit is higher and the tree is lower, either way you have to distance the tree in distance from the pit, 25 Amas. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Bar Lamata Ve'ilan Lamala, we understand if the pit is lower down and the tree is higher up, that you still have to distance the tree 25 Amas because Ka'azlan Sharashin Maskila Labar, because although the tree is higher up, but the roots go down into the ground and it's going to go outward 25 Amas, so it's going to damage the guy's pit. Elabar Lamalav in Lamata Amai, but if the pit is higher up and the tree is lower down, so what's the problem? Roots don't go upward. If anything, it goes sideways or lower down. So what's the problem? Why do we have to distance the tree 25 Amas from the distance of the length to the pit? So that Amr B'chaga B'shem Rabbi Yisi said, B'meish machlidin es arkarka. This term of machlidin, Rashi says, is from the halachas of Hilchos Shechita, where in this context it means that it goes out of where it's supposed to, it goes underneath the land of where the pit is, u'malkin karka yasser shabar, and it ruins the ground of the pit. You're right, it's not going to go into the wall of the pit as if it was side by side, because although they're both underground, here it's going to go even lower down because the pit is higher up, and if anything, the roots go from a tree down, but the whole ground underneath the pit is going to get weakened and softened, and it's going to cause the bottom of the pit to cave in and not to hold water, and therefore, even if the pit is higher and the tree is lower, you still have to distance it 25 amas away. Now, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that Rabbi Yisrael, he disagreed to the Tanakhama. He says, "Av bishad bar kudemes lilon, even if the pit of the neighbor was made before this guy made his tree, lo yakutz, he doesn't have to cut his tree down. Because this guy could dig in his property, could plant in his property. Although his roots are going to go, fine, that's not something that he's responsible for." Now, Amr Behuda Meshmul, he says, "Halacha k'rabiyisi, halacha falls like Rabbi," which is this concept that although this mazik is going to be causing damage, but it's the victim whose the responsibility is, so get away from him. He's not coming into your property. It's causing, through Hashem, the laws of nature to go into your property, but it's incumbent upon the nizik, the victim, to distance himself, not the mazik to distance himself. That's the halacha k'rabiyisi. Now, however, Amr Rav Ashi says, "Kavon be Rav Kahana." When we were in the yeshiva of Kahana, Havarminan, we would say that Meidir Rav Yisi begiri didei. That Rav Yisi, however, agrees when it's his arrows. What does that mean? If the damage comes directly from the hand of the mazik, for example, as the Gemara says in B'Metzia towards the end of the Masechta, the Kof Yud Zayin and Aleph, talks about two individuals that own a house. One lives on the second story, and one lives on the first story. Now, the maziva, which is the floor of the ceiling, which is the floor of the second story, the layer of plaster came undone. Now, whenever the second story guy would wash his hands, it would pour directly on the head of the guy on the first floor. So since there it's going directly from his hand, as he's pouring his hands, going straight on the guy in the first floor's head, that's called giri delay. There, Abusi agrees that it's the mazik's responsibility because it's a direct hit, direct damage on his neighbor. Now, but if let's say when the guy washes his hands, it doesn't fall directly on the guy's head, but rather it actually rolls down. If let's say he washes his bathroom as one part of the floor and it rolls down, and then only later does it fall on the guy's head because the hole is further down on the floor, that's not called giri delay. And that, yeah, Rabbi Yisrael would hold that although this guy's causing him damage, it's on the nizik to distance himself and he has to fix that floor and not the mazik. But giri delay, when it goes direct, even Rabbi Yisrael would agree that our Mishnah is talking about a tree. He doesn't do it directly. It takes years till the roots come and damage. That Rabbi Yisrael holds as a nizik's responsibility. But if it's something direct damage, then it's the mazik's responsibility. As the Gemara illustrates with the next door incident, Papi Yoyno, that was his name, Papi, and he was called Yoyno based on the place where he lived, Ani Vehesher Hava. He was a poor person who became wealthy. Sabana Padna, he built himself a mansion. Hava Hanach Atzuri B'Shvivase. So there were those who would press sesame seeds to make oil out of it, sesame oil. When they would press the sesame seeds, have a naida padna, it would make such a loud bang that the walls of his mansion would shake. Asla kamid Rav Ashi, he came in front of Rav Ashi to complain. So Malay Rav Ashi said, "Ki havoin be'er of Kahana, we were in the yeshiva of Kahana, have a minin, like we just said this halacha, we would say that major beats to be giri delay, Rabisi agrees when it's a direct hit from the mazik, when it's his arrows, where the same thing, yes, is in this situation where this is coming directly from their hands because when they bang with the grinding, that creates the shake, that's coming directly from them. There we don't say it's on the nizik to be marachik himself. Even Rabbi Yisrael would agree it's on the mazik. So although we hold the halachas like Rabbi Yisrael, he would agree ala mazik laharachik satsma. And here the sesame presses would have to move because they're causing direct hit from the actions that they're doing. Now, ask the Gemara of a Kama, how much, when we're saying that the mansion shakes, that we would require that they have to distance themselves, that wouldn't be considered anymore a direct hit, that it's causing the walls to shake because of them. So, continues the Gemara on the top of Chof Vav Med Aleph, "Kedinoyid nichtema apumi dechatzva." Just like that, if they would put a jug on the wall of this guy's house, and with the cover on top of it, that if when they bang the sesame seeds that they're banging, it would make the cover of the jug shake because of that, that's still considered a direct hit, and that would still be considered that they're causing, that's on, it's a giri delay, and they would still have to distance themselves as long as that still is happening. When they're banging, it's causing that the cover of this jug would shake on top of the wall. That's something that's still considered giri delay, and only if they would be banging and it wouldn't cause, sometimes you have reverberations in the ground, which might not be considered direct. But if it's causing that to shake, that's still considered giri delay, and they would have to remove themselves even further.